was one thing at home, because we didn't buy any Christmas. Is it all right? We didn't buy any Christmas cake or anything like that. Everything has had to be those little cookies and whatever they are that were baked before Christmas. And as children, we were always saying, Grandma used to say, look out, you know, when the sky was red. The Christkindl, it's the child, you know. Well, the angels has opened the oven door, and that's why the sky is pink. And we believed it, you know. I mean, when you're little like that. And then at Christmas, of course, the Christmas tree always went up on the 23rd. And we weren't allowed to look at it. It was in the, what is it, it was in the, that what, in the bedroom in the corner, because we didn't have so many rooms. And it was then they put all in white, you know. My mother even put a cotton wool on, but the cotton wool was impregnated with something that it didn't catch any fire. Lametta on, white candles and everything. And then when Christmas Eve came, we have had to say our prayers, yeah? And then, the prayers. Then we have had our meal. They usually be, what is it, fish soup, carb, potato salad, apple strudel, and then the people, what is it, the tea, or they might have had a glass of wine, and if they were rich, you know, but tea, and there was always room in there, and if they were lucky, the parents might give us a spoonful of room in our tea, you know. We drank the tea without milk, very weak, you know, and always, most of the time, either with some juice in. And then, of course, then we could go and see what Father Christmas, we said Christkindl, it was the child, what, not Father Christmas, brought the presents. And I remember one year I got a pair of skiers, because we loved skiing, you know. And then one year I got an outfit, you know, skiing pants and the whole outfit. I mean, not the skiers were from wood, you know, and oh, well, and then we were away. And then we have had one of those for, is it toboggan, you know, what is it, one of those things, you could come down the hill, you know.
Toboggan.
Yeah. And... And, oh, grand time, you know. We weren't bored like that here now, you know. And then, of course, next day, the traditional Christmas dinner used to be red cabbage, dumplings, homemade dumplings, and then either goose or duck. And then after they have had some kind of sweet again, you know, if they there might have been some stewed plums or something, you know, really, and whipped cream on top of it, and it was we didn't live bad, you know. We want things not very fancy or things, but good food. And then on the 6th of December, Father Christmas used to come. Father Christmas, like they come in Holland, they have a Father Christmas, he looks like the bishop, you know, and then he has had the devil with him. And if you don't know, what is it, if you weren't very good as children, oh, we dread it, you know, when he came and the bell, what is it, the bell, he rang the bell and the devil was rattling the chain and he has had a sack on his thing. And we were frightened that he's going to put us in the sack. And he said, what is it, he said, like, you have had to say a prayer or, what is it, or say a proverb or something. And then, have you been good? Oh, yes, you know. And then you got probably a plate full with some oranges, tangerines, and a few nuts, and a bar of chocolate, and what else did they give you? And homemade cookies, you know. And it was, you know, when I think now, it's much different altogether. And then at Easter, our tradition was on Thursday, all the bells went to Rome. In Rome, what is it in Rome? They took the bells to Rome. They were flying to Rome. And children used to go around, you know, what they have those, sometimes they use it at football pitches, some wood.
A rattle.
And at 12 o'clock they used to go around the church, you know, telling people, you know, there was no bells ringing, nothing. And then, and then was Good Friday. Now that was a fast day, definitely. They have, and then you go on Good Friday, you used to go to church to look at the, where Jesus was buried. It was weary in there, you know, like a bit down, you know, not much light, and Jesus was lying there, Maria sat there, and you have had to pray. And then on Easter Sunday, the bells came back, and the church was lit up, you know, candles burning, and they were ringing the bells, you know, and it was absolutely marvelous, you know. And in church itself, all the gold, the crosses and crosses, you know, everything, were covered in purple to pay you respect on things. Mind you, it has gone probably a little bit. And at Christmas, we have at Christmas was the Christmas midnight mass. And we have had candles. There was, that was the church. And that was inside the church.
Very nice.
And that was outside. Oh, that is left. Yeah. That is left of my grandmother's house here. What has been built in 1550. So, it's the pictures what we have taken, you know, from when we went over there. And then, of course, we have had, before in spring, the priest used to go around with the farmers, riding over the fields and blessing the fields. You know, that was another tradition what they have had. They used to have crosses, you know. And they used to put them on the fields, you know, praying that they have a good harvest. So, it's very, it was different from here, you know, it's really a thing. And then, of course, we came to Germany. I don't know if you want to know any more from
Czech. It was a traditional rural community.
Yes.
And a very Catholic community.
Yes, yes.
The church played quite a prominent role
yes.
in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to come to your education and just ask you a few questions about your education. Which school did you attend first?
It was Volksschule. You went there. We only started school at six. Six, you know. Mm. And then you went on till you were... 5 classes, and then you went, you went to higher education, and it called the Bürgerschule, or Mittelschule. Now, here, I don't know what it is in English.
Mm.
I probably have to look it up, you know.
Mm.
I left the school. When did I leave school? The education was pretty strict, you know.
Hmm.
You couldn't answer the teacher or anything like they do now, you know. And then every on the end of the year, on the end of the year, you have had to make a test, you know. And we were all dreading that one when you have had to fill, you know, fill the forms in and things. And then it was, yeah, I think it, I left school when I was 15.
What's your earliest memory of school? What is your earliest memory of school?
Of school? I tell you what the earliest memory, they told me there was a lady teacher in there, and when they opened the door, there was a fellow in standing in there, and I stood in the doorway. I wouldn't go in. And the thing, they, and he was really good. He used to, for us, he used to bring his film project with, and he showed us Grimm's fairy tales, you know, some very, well, they were very cute, they were not like that. And we loved him for that, you know, he was really good. And we have had quite a lot of sport as well, you know. We have had a sport hall, and you have had to attend. There was no saying, no, you can't do it. You, what does he do it?
Can you describe the classrooms that you used?
The classroom, yeah. There was the blackboard. There was the table where the teacher sat. Then there was a great big stove in there to heat the rooms. Then round there were hooks where you hang your coat on. And then you sat, what is it, you sat in there. The benches were two people sat in the benches. And they were wooden, so but they were green.
You were facing the teacher in rows of two.
Facing the teacher,
in rows of two. Okay.
And it was very easy if you're not very, you know, not looking. Sometimes they stood behind you, and when you were looking like that, you got, you went like that, patch, and you got one on your head. And you didn't say it at home. And we have had quite good teachers, and we have had to learn from the 1, 2, 3, from the third class, in the fourth class, we have had to learn a second language, a Czech
so
language.
So how old would you be when that started?
About 10, okay. When you were 10.
Okay. What other sorts of facilities did you have, you know, beside the desks, paper and slates and what have you? How did you have pens to read?
We have had pens. We even have had great big with pens, books. If you looked after your book, you could sell it again, you know, for the class coming up. We have had reading books and the pencil and then colored things for drawing. And we have had a great big, what they call a board, like that. When we have had, you know, painting on there. And that was a blimmin' mess when you have to take it into school, you know. It was heavy, you know, to carry. And in the morning, we always said our prayers, like. And then, in fact, we even have had, remember first and second class, you got milk and bread. You know, milk and bread for like 11s, you know. And we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then sometimes the school went till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Bit of break in between, you know. And I used to go to my aunt because it was too long to walk home.
What was your favourite subject?
Mine was geography, history, and then reading. I didn't like, mathematics, you know. And what was that, on sport. And writing, well, yeah, that was mostly, you know, history and and geography and things and sport. And then singing, we have at a choir in the school. And, yeah. But as I say, it was, when I come to think now, you know, We must have been very hard to handle sometimes.
which sort of brings me to discipline. Was there a lot of discipline?
Yes, there was. Say, if you didn't behave, they would say, right, you stand in the corner there. And the worst part, we have girls' school and boys' school, and they were together. And the worst part was when the teacher said to you, go out in the corridor, and she sent you out, not where the girls' corridor is, out to the boys' corridor. And when they came out, you know, well, then the whole school, you know, they have fell on it. Even sometimes, smack, I can't remember really, but I think one or two got a smack, you know, for unruly, unruly things.
Yeah.
But one of the teachers, some of the teachers not even touched you, they could handle you, but one or two, Klimicek, whatever, was, she bang you one from the back of the head and you didn't know what hit you.
What was your relationship like to the other children at the school?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind you, we have had a fight, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we call them names and the things, but my way to school was about 15 to 20 minutes walk. There were no buses, nothing. Mm. You have to walk, and you were glad to sit down, and you took you listen what the teacher was saying then.
What time do you start?
8 o'clock in the morning.
What time do you finish?
4 o'clock. In the afternoon.
So it was a long day?
It was a long day, yeah. Mm. I mean, we have had breaks in between, and then later on, sometimes it was 3 o'clock, you could go home. You have had an hour's break, and then we started again, sometimes it finished at 12 or 1 o'clock, and you started at 2 again, and till 4 o'clock.
Yeah. Was that the only school you went to?
I went to the domestic, course for 1 year, you know.
Was that only for girls?
Only for girls, yeah. It was, it was cooking, cleaning and sewing and, what you do in the household and things. Mm. And then when I finished that course, it was in Germany. You have had to do a year's what are called working either for a family with a lot of children, or you could work and you have had to do a year out, you know. Like they took you, I worked for a family, then I worked on a farm, you know, for 1 year, and then I worked for my aunt. She has at a mountain hut, and I was in there, you know, helping out when people coming, serving coffee and tea and do the washing up and things. It was about 1,333 meters over the sea level. It took you about nearly an hour to go down to the next pass. Cars, nothing. Yeah.
And whereabouts was that?
That was in Altvatergebirge, Heidebrundel. I have, that was the pass here. You know, and where you see here, it went all the way up, you know. It was a pilgrimage, you know, you could do. Going up there, we didn't went up there because there was still snow lying there and it was cold and it burned down and I stayed there for quite a while return. When I came home, I didn't like it at home because there was no snow. Because when we wanted to go down, you know, to the village, we went on skiers, you know, to the pass and then down there. And down was all right, but we have had to bring the bread up on the back of the things, so yeah.
Did boys and girls learn together or separately?
Separately.
Right.
They were in the, what is it, we have had the schools, you know, girls were on one side of the school and the other ones were on the other side.
Okay.
So.
Tell me now, just moving on a little bit, to work. When did you leave school and start work?
It was 1944. I can't remember on the thing. And I used to work for the Burgermeister as a receptionist.
Okay.
Till the war ended.
Was this full time?
Yes, yeah. I was as a receptionist, and they gave me the coupons to count. We have had coupons, you know. And if anybody came, I have to, you know, knock on the door or use the phone and things. And it was all right. And I can tell you, I can tell you a story about that. When the war came nearly to an end, there was, you know, the prisoners from the east came, and all at once there was a knock on the door, and there was a German guard with an English prisoner, you know, prisoner of war, and smartly dressed and things. And the soldier said to me, can I have a word with the Burgermeister? I said yes. And he said to me, what is it? He said to me, we want to see if we can get transport. And I said, yes. So I told him, and he wanted to ask the soldier, but he couldn't speak German and he didn't speak English. But as it happened, we have had a lady there. She came over from America. And the war started and she couldn't go back. So she acted as a translator. And he was asking for his comrades, you know, if they can stop there, if they can put them up in a hall or somewhere. And he did, you know, they put straw down, made fire and cooked them something. And next morning I have had to go to the farmers to get us, what couldn't walk. They have had to put the sledges on with horse things and take the soldiers to the next railway station. And do you know, you wouldn't believe it, he wouldn't do it with Russians, but he did it because they were under the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
And he was ever so grateful, you know, he said thank you and saluted, and you know, when he went out he said, yes, we look after you, but he would do it with a Russian.
Hmm. Okay then. So you worked at a receptionist in
yes.
the town hall, it's quite yeah. an important job.
Yeah.
Can you remember how much you were paid a week?
No, it was in Reichsmark. I can't remember how much I got there and then, you know. I haven't even written it down. I don't think I have it even in my workbook, what I still have somewhere flying about.
Mm.
And I can't remember. But later on, well, of course, when the war came, when 45, the Russian front came.
Mm.
And, you know, you could hear them, and you could see the, when they were shooting, you know, you could see the lights, it was like lightning, you know, on there. And then, we said, oh, we're going to the West. And my mother said, yeah, we have had relatives in Frankfurt am Main. And we said, we meet there. And I took a handcart, and I wanted to go to the railway station, you know. And we got there, soldiers took us. The roads were full with soldiers, you know, German soldiers going back. And they gave us, they gave us a lift. And then we went, and we got a train And that train went backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, the whole night through. And we thought we were in the West. And when we, finally, when it light came, we were still on the same station, because the Russian were shooting in at the next one. And after that, with a handcart, we went in and stopped in a little village. And then I had to walk home, and it was from Glasgow to London with a handcart. And on the way we found friends, you know, but went home. We slept in the fields, and if somebody let us sleep in the on the floor, you know, in the things, we slept in there, and finally got home. And when I came home, the house was burnt down. You know, the living quarters. The Russian thrown a grenade in on the 10th of May, and it burned right down from top to bottom, because my mother, they saw the Russian coming, and they wanted to take something out of the house, and they went through the back window, over the brook, over meadow, into the woods, and then they saw them, you know, and so they thrown a grenade in and burned everything.
Right. So there was nothing left?
Nothing left. No.
Okay. Just going on to the job you had as the receptionist.
Yeah.
How long did you have that job for?
Till 44. I think it must have been 1.5 years or 2 years, you know. Mm. The thing is, when the Russian came in 1945, it was finished.
Mm.
Because the Czechs took over.
Mm.
They were, they have a different, a different burgomaster or something.
Mm. Mm. So were you working full time when you lost the job?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We didn't get any, we didn't get any, anything, you know, money or anything.
What other jobs did you do then, after that?
After that, we did on the harvest, the Czechs organized things, you know, we have had to go and over the fields and get the weeds out. Then sweeping like the marketplace, and because we were Germans, you know, and then I got a place in the sewing mill, They were looking for people for what can sew. So I applied for it and I got it. And from that one, the money what I earned, I think it was about 100 kronen, or 100 and things, I had to give half of the money back to them to build a, to build I don't know what they did, they gave it to the Russian or build a monument or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then of course, then we came to Germany. It took us, you know, in the cattle, cattle train and...
So what year would this be?
That was in... we came out in 1946, in August.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So where did you end up?
I ended up in Gießen, in Großenbusek, and then later on I didn't stop very long. I came to Karlsruhe, because my father came from the Russian... He came from the Russian, he was prisoner of war by the Russian. My brother was prisoner of war by the French. And then he worked for the Americans. And then we all, and we came with that train. They came to Karlsruhe. And I was with my aunt. I came out with my aunt because the, so we found out they are there. So I got on a train and I went down, you know, we met up again. And I can tell you where we lived, it rained in, you know, all the houses were bombed out, you know, and half of the things standing there. And I remember a Christmas there, I got a suitcase, full of potatoes, my Russian, what I take down, you know, from where I stayed with my aunt, down to where my mother lived. And they were absolutely happy, you know, that they have they lived in the American zone and they only got those dried potatoes. And that was, what is it, it was, oh, Christmas, you know, they have a tin of pilchards, I remember. Yeah. And then, of course, the money changed, you know. I worked for a knitting place, and then the money changed. And, I mean, there were a lot of people without work.
Mm.
Because the money went from 500 marks. When you have 100 marks, you got 10 marks for it.
Mm.
Because there was so much money floating about through the black market, you know, with the things. And anyway, and then I lost, that closed down, and then I have had no work. And then I found out, you know, they were looking for people in the cotton industry here in England. And I thought, well, I might as well go and see and learn the language. And I'm still learning.
We'll come on to that in a minute.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back briefly to essentially the sorts of things that you did as a child and then a teenager in your spare time. So, you know, when you were young, what were the sorts of things that you spent your spare time doing? For example, did you go to the cinema or...?
Yes, we went to the cinema. And dances were out. We haven't had any dances. Only then we met up with a friend, friends, you know. And about two times in summer, two times or three times, we met up, what is it, with playing volleyball or what is it... or sport, you know, jumping and running, you know, we were on the sports field. So that was very, what is it, enjoyable.
Yeah. Did you ever go to Sunday school?
No, we haven't no Sunday schools. No.
Okay. What about your leisure activities? Now, as a child, what sort of games did you play?
Oh, we have had the hoop, you know, when you, what is it, a piece of string, you know, on the round.
Yeah.
I don't think we played a lot of games, you know. No, on the things, you know, sometimes we, jumping, you know, have had a great
skipping.
Big, skipping, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that one with, marbles, playing marbles.
Playing marbles, yeah.
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 On things. And what was the other one what we did? Swimming. Yeah, in summer swimming, you know, going to the bath and swimming. Mind you, we couldn't swim, but we only sat on there. And in summer, with the family, we used to, my mother, there were three couples. And they have had children. We did a lot of hiking in summer. Sometimes they packed us in, one has had a car, and they got all the children in with a big person, and we went down to the Oder, to the river, you know, and there they did the camping. They boiled the eggs, they made the coffee, they brought what is it, the food with there, and we could paddle in the, what is it, in the Oder. And in winter we used to go skiing, you know, like hiking, in summer hiking, you know, and in winter we went with the skis, long, what is a long way around. And and then, of course, there was the family, we played games, you know, with, we got quite a few games, you know, like, not Monopoly or something, some easy ones. With stones, you know, the domino. And then what was the other one what we played? Domino. Cards. When it was cold outside. And, well, I can't tell, what is it, things. Otherwise, I don't think we have had a lot of going to clubs or anything. It was only when, in 1938, when the Hitler Youth started up, that you went to clubs.
Yeah.
And then we got together, you know, and were singing there and going to the sports field and things, so.
Yeah. So when you became a, you know, you grew up, you became a teenager, a young woman.
Yeah.
And obviously your leisure activities changed. So what did you start doing then?
Well, we couldn't go dancing. There were no dances.
Right.
No. It was only later on when we came to Germany that we went dancing, you know. And most of the time, you know, we got when we came over to Germany, we got a garden. And it was full of brambles and craters from the bombs what fell. So, of course, we started working them in the things. And then cinema, I loved cinema, going to cinemas, you know. And then sometimes I helped my aunt, you know, in the home. And we didn't, I don't think I have had a lot of, knitting and embroidery. That was another thing, you know, you sat there and listened to the wireless and it did that.
So did everybody have a wireless? Or was it just people who were a bit more comfortable?
We have had, before, what is it, in 38, we got one of the wirelesses, you know. But I mean, not many households have had wirelesses. I mean, then it was very, they couldn't afford it, some of them. You have had, we have had one, and we have had a telephone as well. And... most of the things, it was more a bit primitive. Some of the houses were, you know, no water toilets, you know, they were they were emptied, and it stunk.
Where were they emptied?
They went on the farm.
So they were used as manure.
They were used as manure, you know. There was nothing wasted, you know, on the things. They were used as manure. And they have had great big, on my grandmother's farm, a great big hole, and it was full with, you know, things, and then they put it into a wagon, and it went over the field, you sprayed it.
Right. Yeah. What about... toilet facilities, washing facilities in the house?
We have had a sink in the in the kitchen, and the bath, tin bath, you know, and in the cellar, most houses have had cellar. They always have had a great big kettle, and you heated that up, and then you can use the bath, you know, use it you have to take the water out, and the washing was the same. You have to soak the washing, and then it was boiled in that great big kettle. It's just a kettle, isn't it? Somebody came, you know, and helped my mother to wash it, and they washed it, and then rinsed it, and then we went to a brook. They took the water, but took the washing. On the back, you know, it was made from wood, and to the brook, and they were rinsing it there, and it was, there was a fence round, and then they were bleached on the grass, you know, I mean, you didn't have any bleach or anything like that. There, and as children, you know, we have had to watch that the geese and not coming across the brook, you know, and they used to go on the washing, you know, and put the blimming, lefting the visiting cards and ducked the linen in, you know. And toilets were pretty primitive, you know.
Now, we've talked of your experiences up until and during World War II.
Yeah.
What were the rest of your family doing during the war?
Well, as I say, my brother was in the army.
Was this the German army?
The German army.
Right.
And my father was in the German army.
Really?
He was twice. He was in the First World War in the German army. He was only about 17, I think. And my brother, he was in the German army. Mm. And then he was stationed in Norway during the war.
Right.
and then and my father was in Poland, stationed in Poland. And as I say, my mother took the job over, you know, weighing the cattle in when it came, because you weren't allowed to slaughter at home. Everybody would kill, the butchers killed a pig or an oxen or something. They have to come to the slaughterhouse, and then they have to take samples, you know, and then they take it away. And my mother took took the job over.
So did your father and your brother, they came back from the war safely?
Yes, yeah.
And then did you decide to, I mean, you were forced out of...
We were forced out of the home.
Yes. So did you all go to Germany as a family?
No. I went with my aunt because I got told, I was on a list to go to help with the harvest in the Hanna, that's a part of the Czech Republic, you know, very rich, you know, like farming land. And he said, what is it? He said, you better see that you get out, otherwise I might not go home. I always said, my father didn't come home. When he was discharged from the Russian as a prisoner of war, he crossed over into Germany and the Czechs took him as a prisoner of war. And he was in the camp then. And he was later on, he could go on a farm, you know, and he was like a farm helper on a farm. I went in the camp on Thursday, and my father came home on Thursday. So I didn't see him till I was in Germany.
Right.
And my brother, he was already in Heilbronn working for the Americans, you know. First he was in the French, prisoner by the French. And then he was discharged, and he found work with the U.S. Army, you know, with being a good auto mechanic. They took him on. He was, you know, helping in the with the cars or something.
So you ended up living in Germany with an auntie?
With an auntie. And then, later on, I have had to ask for permission to move to my parents.
And where were they living?
They were living in Karlsruhe.
Okay.
And they were, where my aunt lived, was near Frankfurt am Main, you know. It was from Gießen up there. And if you wanted to move, you have had to have permission from the town, from the, from where they kept the records, you know, that you can move, reunite the family. So... It's really complicated, some of the things.
So were you reunited?
Yes, we were. I got permission, and when we lived in on the fifth floor, have had one room, two beds, right? No, wait a minute, three beds we have had. In one of them, my brother slept. There was a hole in the roof, and when it rains, he has had to put an umbrella up, I think, because it was damaged through bombs. And I slept with my mother in my bed, in the bed, and my father slept in, three beds in there. And then later on, somebody came and asked him if he would like to share a house with him. And I got to know, and that house was a double house, five floors high. One was completely bombed out, and the other one was only the ground floor standing. And the other ones, you could see all the rooms were open. And the fellow that came, he said, would you help me to get it going? And you can have two rooms, and we have two rooms and a bath, you know. And the kitchen, and so we moved in there, and honestly sometimes you wondered how we lived in there, you know, that not the whole blooming thing fell down. And it was, I slept with my parents in the bedroom, and my brother slept in the kitchen. And then later on we got a different, what is it, later on we have had to move. And we got on the fifth floor again, right up there, you know, we got things, and my brother got married. And then his sister-in-law was there, and that was in 1950, 1948, I think so. And then, of course, I saw the advertisement, and that's when I applied for coming to Britain.
So what was the advertisement?
The advertisement, young girls from the Sudetenland, you know, Sudetenland, young girls looking for the cotton industry on the Westport Hoe. I think it was Bevan was the labor mm-hmm. then in 1950. Mm-hmm. And I still have the records somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. what I will be rooting mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. And so we applied. And before we could even enter Britain, you have had a health check complete from top to bottom. You have had an x-ray, for the x-ray, you have had your teeth checked, your water, you know, your blood, and what is it, your blood, and then, what is it, and then a police record has to be checked, you know, and then we came to Minster, I don't know, it wasn't Minster, and there the British Army doctors checked us through again before we even could enter to things. And if they found something, you were sent back straight away. So we have had to be healthy to come in to, you know, to come in here.
Was this a newspaper advertisement?
No, it was on the labour exchange. It was on the labour exchange. They have had the posters there, you know, looking for young women for the British cotton industry.
Okay.
And because I have to go there, you know, see if I can get a job, because there weren't many jobs about. So we came from all places, you know, and it was quite interesting.
So were there a lot of young women came over?
Oh yeah, what is it? The transport must have been about 40 or 50 every time they came over.
Okay.
I still have the things, and we came from there, we went on the train to Hook of Holland, and then to Harwich, and from Harwich to Manchester, and from Manchester they put us on the buses, and they took us to Inskip, into the Nissen huts, you know, and we thought, oh dear, what did we let ourselves in for? They were blooming cold, it was in March, and we were there, you know, and then we were saying so many to Chorley, so many to Blackburn, and we were split all up, you know, the whole transport was split up. And I remember it was Thursday, and we came to Talbot Mill in Chorley. That mill isn't there anymore. There was a private, it was a mill hostel, you know. And they put us, what is it, they took us in the canteen. The warden was there, she spoke perfect German. And she took us there, and then, as soon as we have had a meal, and we thought, oh, do you know that brown sauce meat? Cooked meat, potatoes, vegetable, and some brown sauce. Well, we were never used to that one. They put us in the weaving shed. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. You know, the shuttles flying on one loom, you know, on the shuttle here. And they were talking. Well, of course, we couldn't understand the things. Even people would learn English in school, they couldn't understand them. And then, of course, then we started, you know. I wasn't in there very long because I didn't like it. They were looking for somebody in the kitchen. And the firm, what is it, one of the, from the office, they made it, the welfare officer, she said, I get you into the kitchen, because she said, I don't like it. I wanted to go back home. And so I started in the kitchen in the hostel as a cook.
Okay, so Were you still living in Inskip, or were you living...
No, you
were living in Chorley.
In Chorley, in yes. Talbot Mill Hostel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how long did you stay and work there?
Oh, it must be 1958 or 1959.
All right.
And then... then the hostel closed down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I worked in the sewing place then, but I don't know where it is. I couldn't even know what the name of the sewing place was.
Mm.
And then I came to Preston here.
Mm. How did you come to Preston?
What happened, I have had Andrew, you know. The relationship didn't work out. And so I came to Preston and rented a house, you know, and I worked for CCM, cotton clothing manufacturer, Watson and Riglis in Lancaster Road.
When you say, I don't want to yeah. probe, were you married or?
No. The relationship didn't work out, you know.
Okay.
He left.
Yeah.
And I thought, so before I'd rather do it on my own. I'm better off sometimes as if you're married. I mean, I started working and I've never been out of work or something. I always worked for my living, you know.
Mm.
And I mean, I bought a house and yeah. And then...
So you had a child?
Yeah.
A son?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came to Preston?
Yeah.
And did you come to live in Frenchwood immediately?
Yes, I lived privately in Lancaster Road. I got a place in Lancaster Road, and then I rented a house in Grayson Street. Now that is down now, there's nothing more there. It's somewhere around here. And then, of course, they're going to pull those houses down. I rented that one. It was two up and down on the toilet over the yard. And then, they were taking that district down, you know. All the houses came down. Mm-hmm. And I got that one here now. And I thought, I would have liked one with a garden, you know, but I mean, if you haven't got a lot of money, well, you can't do it, you know, so that's what I did.
So when do you own this house?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Is this the first house that you bought?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you lived in the house?
Since 1972.
72. So yeah. When did you come to Preston, to Frenchwood first?
It was in 1958, I think.
Mm-hmm.
1958 or 1959. It was in Grayson Street. I rented a house there.
So you rented a house, and this was a two up and two down?
Yeah. In Grayson yeah. Street.
No real facilities?
No, tin bath, you know, outside in the coal shed. And my kitchen and the stairs, you know, to heaven. They were that way. I wanted to move a chair and I got stuck for 1 hour on the stairs, you know, couldn't move neither way. No, and then the houses came down, you know, so I moved on to the sit down.
So where did you work?
I worked for Watson and Riglis. That was in, do you remember Watson and Riglis? It used to be in Lancaster Road.
Painter and decorators?
No, it was a sewing place.
Oh.
It was a sewing place and a shop. They used to sell clothing for overalls, you know, and old things. They made even jackets for the buses and things, and then they moved out to... Garstang. And it was cotton clothing manufacturers then. And of course then it didn't work out, the relationship, and I left there. And I started working at Trafford in the banking, in the mail order firm. and I worked there for 17 years. So, and then I retired from there.
Okay. Tell me about your life in Frenchwood.
Well, I'll put it that way. There wasn't much life in Frenchwood because I went out at 7 o'clock to catch the bus at 8:30. And when I came home, it was nearly 8 o'clock. You couldn't go clubbing or anything. I mean, you probably you might go nip into the next door neighbor. She has had a color television and I didn't, you know. And life was fine, you know. I mean, it was much cleaner. And I left the door open, and nothing happened. You know, nothing happened. Now I wouldn't leave a door open for nobody here. And then, of course, the streets were cleaner, people were more friendlier. I mean, they would say hello. Now they look at you if you smile at them as if something wrong with you sometimes. Sorry to say, but I mean, you smile at people and you're not getting a smile back.
What sort of, you know, as a essentially a German citizen,
Yeah. What
sort of response did you get from people?
When we came over, they asked us, are you a good German or a bad German? Right? And then later on, when you were talking, they said, well, about your concentration camp, you must have known. Your concentration camp. I said, yes, we knew about concentration camps, but we didn't know what was going on in there. I mean, do you know what next door is going on? If the neighbor hits, or what is it, if he hits his wife, you know, the man hits his wife or anything. And if you're not being careful, you nearly landed in there, you know. And then, of course, when we came over, we got told, behave, abide by the law, and always think you're a guest in here.
Mm.
So, and that's what the thing is what we live by, you know. Mm. I mean, always friendly, polite, and things. Mm. That was, we were brought up like that. Mm. And I mean, it was, Frenchwood was very handy. First of all, it was on the, you know, the buses, you can go to town shopping, and then, I mean, I have had very good neighbors where I lived before. Here now, they not even say hello, you know. I don't even know sometimes who is underneath the, she wears the things, and if she her friends are coming, I don't know who it is. And otherwise, you know, and then we started. I started when Andrew was little, I started with the Scouts. He wanted to go to the Scouts, and I said, oh, Andrew, no, you know. It was a bit thing. And he went in the Scouts, and he enjoyed it, and then we became friendly with the Scout movement there, and there was, and then John, what was the Scout leader, said, oh, we're running a camp, we need some cooks. I said, well, I volunteer, you know, and then there was Rose and Janet. And we were really, you know, going together, you know, cooking and things. And then I became the treasurer of the Scout group.
Tell me, which group was this?
The 7th Preston, and they're based at Goodrich.
In
Deepdale Road.
Who was the Scout Master?
John Waits.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this was during the 1960s?
Yeah, what is it? 70s, you know.
1970s.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got involved with the Scouts?
Yeah.
What school did Andrew go to?
He went to here on
Frenchwood.
Frenchwood School. And then he went to that one, Moor Park. But not Moor Park, the other one. Woodlands? No. I'm getting old, I'm telling you. Southlands? No. You can't remember the school. It's combined now with Moor Park School. So, I mean, the name has gone for about, 20 years. So it's... things. And then he went to the college down. Oh, was the college in Cherry Green? Cherry Green is down there. But he didn't. What is it? He did his things, but he started off at Morrison's. And now he's been nearly 25 years at Morrison's, working there. So as long as out of what is it that he has work and not going out drinking and smoking, the smashing. And I mean, I got, after the service with the scouts, I got that clock. Do you know, I was absolutely thrilled. I mean, over 25 years in the service with the scouts, you know, as a treasurer. And I saw John the other day and he said, you know, I still haven't got a treasurer. He said, you're not thinking. I said, no, John, I'm not thinking.
Tell me a little bit more, if you can, about your life in Frenchwood itself. Did you get involved in any community activities here?
Yes, what is it? When I retired in 1987 from Trafford, you know, in the cash office, I took over an allotment. And anyway, it was hard work. And then the secretary retired. So they were looking for a new secretary. So of course, my name came up. So I have been doing it on and off now since 1987. And that is a hobby, you know. It keeps you healthy, it keeps you fit, and you feel all your bones, how they're aching. And sometimes, you know, then I'm in pact, you know, the police with a neighborhood watch. I was involved with the neighborhood watch. And then, what's the other one? Then I'm the co-op members group. I'm a member of there. And we're going sometimes on trips, you know, and I have a day outing. And then we have the autumn group, that is the Foxen Center, and we have outings there. Karin is running it, and very nicely. And then regeneration, where I met you, you know, and things very interesting. And it has changed, you know. How can I say? One time over, it was much cleaner in the streets than it's now. You know, the council has a job on. But, I mean, education is needed. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Other people might think otherwise. Mm. And then, I like Frenchwood. The only thing, I wish I would have a garden on the back of here, and then I don't need to have an allotment. And I can form my hobby. And I like television. Well, that's one good I don't know if it is something, you know, what you should have. Because it takes a lot of time away, you know, when you watch certain programs.
Did you keep up your Catholic faith?
Put it that way, I'm a Catholic, but free. I like a church. What is a church? Now, very often, I don't go to a church, but very often I go to St. Wilfrid's, go in there and say my prayer and put a candle on. Because I'm very sorry, but St. Augustine's, Father Michael is smashing, I've been in there. But to me, when I go in there and I sit in that hall, it is nothing to me. You know, but if I go in one of those real churches, now then I can feel I can feel the faith. I mean, I've been in Malta, and absolutely there. Have you ever been to Malta?
No.
They have How many days are in the year? 365 in a year? They have the churches, and some of the churches are absolutely beautiful, you know. And when you go in and you feel the atmosphere in there. So I'm very sorry. I do say a prayer, you know, and as I say, but not a regular church goer. And I don't like to go out at night. You know, the things. I wouldn't say, but if they believe in it, you know, if it does them good, well, fair enough. I have my own reservation. First of all, I wish they would let the priest marry. That's one thing what I'm thinking. Pope Benedict is absolutely, you know, I think he's marvelous when you look at him, you know, little thing. I like old-fashioned churches. I don't like the modern ones. I can't help it, because our church, I think, what is it? I have shown you that one in here. You can see it in here. That's the inside of our church at home.
Very traditional.
And it's very, you know, it's baroque, I think so. It's really, what is it? That's a church to me.
Now, you obviously have a lot of interests. You're involved in a lot of community endeavours of one kind or another. Do you have a circle of close friends in the Frenchwood area, or just acquaintances?
I'm not as many as I have had before, you know. There's one or two, they died, you know. And then I have a couple of friends, but I'm not going to the houses. And I meet the friends down on the allotment, you know. We can have a right good chat down there. And then, of course, Dorothy and John. Well, they are very good friends. We have been away on holiday.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, you know, I mean, when you go out of the house after 7 o'clock and you come home after 4 o'clock, you didn't meet, you don't meet a lot of people, do you?
No.
And on Sunday, I mean, you have had housework, you know, and cooking and whatever needs doing. So, but otherwise I know quite a few people.
Do you keep in touch with your own family back in Germany?
Yes, I will be. On the 10th? Is it the 10th? Yeah, on Wednesday. Wednesday? No, is it the 10th or 11th? No, I'm going over to Germany. I'm flying over to Heilbronn. And then I'm going to stay with a week. With relations in Karlsruhe, where my mother used to live, and then they coming back with me. We're coming through the Channel Tunnel. That is the plan. I don't know. So hopefully, you know, the weather is better than it's here. I still phone a cousin of mine. You know, we keep in touch. And then, of course, of Christmas, you send the cards out, you know, to friends and relatives, or you phone them. But, not as many as I haven't time, to tell you the truth, to go visiting, you know. When you start digging, you know, and then you come home and things.
So, generally speaking, it is a decent area to live in.
Yes. It was better before, but hopefully. But it is a nice area to live in, you know. It has lost. I don't agree. I shouldn't say that, you know. Here the shop. I don't agree with having stuff outside on the pavement. That's my things, you know. And then I hate when dogs doing the business on the pavement. And when I mean, it's not very nice to say you should be neighborly, you know, and that. But I mean, when you have about 14 teenagers hanging around the corner, it's very intimidating when you're going past. And I mean, you shouldn't want to sit there. That's times to change. And I mean, it's a multicolored society now.
Yeah.
But as times change, you can't do anything else, can you?
When you first came here, was it a vibrant community? Were there lots of shops and...
Yes, I mean, we have a Dutch shop was here. Then we have the butcher on the corner here, that's where the thing is. Then we have, well, the laundrette is still here. And then we have the pub, what is it, Selborne. And then there was down was a paint shop down there in Manchester Road. And then the post office was there, the Italian fellow, he was there for things. Across there, I mean, now the shops have been taken over mostly from Indian and...
Yes, Asian shopkeepers, yeah.
And it was, what is it, very nice. And we have had quite more buses going down. But of course, people have a lot of cars now, so they take the, what is it, they take the buses away. And, I mean, now we're lucky. We got some hanging baskets here now. What were made, you know, from, was it regeneration? John organized it.
Okay, yeah.
And so it brightens the area up a bit. And but otherwise, it's declining a bit. I mean, there were fights here, they have had a knife, they even stabbed, what is it, one of the, down the barber. He got hit over the head. So, well, what can you do? That's life. It's not, sometimes it doesn't get any better, sometimes it gets even worse. So.
Okay, we'll end it there, Mrs. Rieger.
Yes, I think now you have earache.
Thank you very much indeed, that was very, very interesting.